Amen. Wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. Glory to His name. You know, there are many, many, many things that we find to cheer about. But glory to His name. I believe that we forget sometimes to give Him the glory, the praise, and the honor that He deserves, that He commands. He is our God. And we should be very, very thankful. As we heard the scripture read this morning by Brother Ollie, from 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Understanding that God desires us to live a certain way. But we sometimes give into the things that God has commanded us to stay away from. Now, I want you to think just for a moment about the place in which you laid your head on last night. The food that you ate on yesterday. The clothes that you are wearing right now. Now, hopefully, well, let me add something to that, and the beverage that you drank on yesterday. Hopefully, all of those things were pleasing in the sight of God. There is nothing wrong with sleeping. There's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with drinking. There's nothing wrong with the wearing of clothes. But when you read 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17, there are some things wrong with sleeping in the wrong bed. There's something wrong with drinking the wrong drink. And there's something wrong with wearing the wrong clothing. Think about it. The Bible again says in 1 John 2, verse 15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, that the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Now, you may have right now at this moment a desire to eat. That's all good. Because that's what we need in order to stay healthy. We need food. You may have a desire to put a certain type of clothing on. That's all good because nobody needs to come out of the house naked. To a desire to get a little rest. There's nothing wrong with that. Because God expects us to sleep from time to time. But when your desire does not match up with God's desire, there's a problem. Because the desires that John is talking about right here, The desires of the flesh is that you are trying to fulfill something in a manner that God has not given you the authority to do so. Think about it. We all right now, let me look, maybe not all, have sight of somebody. When that sight changes from what God expects it to be to a desire to have whom you're looking at or what you're looking at, then you need to change. You need to change that desire. And to be somebody that God has not allowed you to be or made you to be, or put you in a place where you should not be, when your desire is of that nature, you need to change it. Amen. We have problems. We have situations. And there is always a way out, a solution. We fail to identify or to acknowledge the way out because of the desires that we have. And we need to let them go. We need to let them go. We find that there are people that are part of the Lord's church, His family, that their desires change from time to time. Sometimes it changes for the better. You're not who you used to be. You're so much better now. You're not who you used to be. You do not worship God in the fashion in which you used to worship Him. Your desire is not to do His will, but to do your own. We have individuals like that. We have an example. If you turn, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we have this individual by the name of Demas. A worker alongside of Paul for a time. What do I mean for a time? You know, I sort of giggle from time to time as the brothers would pray that, you know, for the evangelist, the preacher that preaches here at this congregation from time to time. I just laugh at myself as I laugh at them for saying from time to time, because I guess it is from a time to time. I wasn't here Wednesday night, so I didn't teach the class. But on this coming Wednesday, from the time, I will be preaching the class. Or teaching, shall I say. But we have individuals that walk with God, that do what they're supposed to do from time to time. Now, that's not good. What we need to be doing is what God desires of us all the time. Demas. I guess Demas, we find here, said his time was up. I don't want to do what is right any longer. I'm tired of working for God. Now we have individuals that cannot perform the job in which they used to do in a fashion that they need to do it, so therefore they give that job up. That's okay. That is praiseworthy. For an individual to realize that they cannot do a certain thing and they give it up. Demas could very well do what was right. But what did he choose? The Bible says here in verse 9 of 2 Timothy 4, do your best to come to me soon. Or in verse 10, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. The love of this world. What exactly did Demas love about the world? The Bible doesn't say. But you can just imagine what this passage is talking about in reference to Demas being in love with this present world. There are many of us that have fallen out of love with God and have loved and love this world. I'm not talking about the sun rising in the east. I'm not talking about the moon shining very bright in the middle of the night. I'm not talking about those things. Yes, we love sunshine. Yes, we love a moonlit night. But I'm talking about the things of this world. And we're going to look at some of those things in just a moment. That's the love that demons had for this present world. The activities that those individuals were participating in were things that God was displeased with. We cannot love those things. We have to love God. James chapter 4 and the verse is 4. James chapter 4 and the verse is 4. The God that we serve is a jealous God. But there are many people that are stepping out on him. James says in James 4 verse 4, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." You're a child of God, but yet you love the world. You're friends with the world. You are committing spiritual adultery. And James says, "You adulterous people." Christian folk. He's calling them adulterers. And quickly, men, women would say, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm right there where I need to be with my spouse." But are you right where you need to be with God? Or are you right where you need to be with Jesus? Is the Spirit dwelling within you? You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Yes, there are things that we like to do. But let's take it a step further, because I just don't like those things, but I love those things. Is it all right in the eyes of God? Do you love what God loves? Do you love coming together with the saints to provoke one another unto love and good works? Again, we have to know that the love of the world is not good in the eyes of God. Individuals give more time to try and to make this world better in the eyes of man than what God desires to make this world better. I have to say, as I've said in times past, you know, those individuals that say we are a Christian nation. Maybe you are. Maybe you are a Christian nation, but I'm not a Christian nation. I'm just me. I'm one person that's going to have to stand before God on the day of judgment. And whether you think it or not, you will have to stand before him on your own two legs, your own two feet, or your soul is floating before him on that day of judgment. Each one of us is going to have to give an account of what we've done in this body, whether good or whether bad. Stand before the judgment seat of God, the judgment throne, and be judged according to what we have done. So if you love the world, your love is focused, your love is geared toward the wrong direction. Yes, God created the world, everything in it, everything God created was very good. Man has corrupted those things. Man has corrupted himself. So therefore, we need to look at these scriptures and understand that we can fall away from grace. 2 Timothy 4:10. You can love the world and be an enemy of God. 1 John 2, 15 through 17, and James 4, 4. We need to understand that. So let's look at and talk about how can we avoid God. You don't really have to tell anybody that. You just look at what they're doing. Somebody's not doing what's right. And they know that you know that they're not doing what's right. They do whatever they can in their power to avoid you. Brother Butch, have you ever loaned me any money? You better say no. Because Anita's looking. What you borrowing money from Brother Butch for? No, I never borrowed any money from Brother Butch. But if I borrow some money from him, I'm not going to ask him for a small amount. I'm going to ask him for a huge amount. And with Brother Butch being the kind-hearted individual he is, he's going to give it to me. And 9 times out of 10, if he give me a large amount of money, I don't intend to give it back. So whenever he see me, I'm going to do my very best to avoid him. Now, all of that is hypothetical. It's not going to happen. Okay? But I want us to know, we are on borrowed time. Amen. And many of us are avoiding God because we're not doing what we need to be doing. We're not ready to give this life back. But it's going to happen. What does the writer of Hebrews say in 9:27? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. On borrowed time, Brother Butch, again, I'm going to use him. Brother Butch did a lesson on a Wednesday night talking about time. And then Brother Thanopoulos came behind him another time to give a lesson on time. We are on this side of the time of life. On this side. What is going to happen on the other side? This life is going to end. And if you love the world, if you're avoiding God, it's not going to be a pretty picture. There are many people that are going to be disappointed because they're not doing what they need to be doing. And there are many that have died that did not do what they needed to do. And therefore, they're not going to get what they want. They're going to get what God has in store for them. We find as we talk about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We find that many people avoid God because of the way that they're making their money. The way that they're spending their money. Well, God tells man to go out and work. Quit stealing. Go out there and get you a job. Work so that you can help somebody else out. But we have many people that are trying to get money in all the wrong ways. The lust of the flesh. There are people that are selling their bodies. The lust of the eyes. There are people out there that are buying what people are selling. We need to talk to those people. We need to tell those people that those things are wrong, that they should not do what they're doing. And then you find praise. There are so many people that love praise that they are now in that situation in which Eve was in when the old serpent said, the day that you eat of that fruit, the day that you eat from that tree, you'll become like a god. Oh, men love praise. We should not set anybody up on a pedestal. We're all created in the image of God. We become certain people because of certain things that we do. But praise. We should never think that we are a God before anybody. Because we're all going to have to give an account to the living God. So praise. A lot of times people avoid God because of the praise that they're trying to get for themselves. People say, you know, why don't you come over to my church? You haven't built a church. You didn't die for a church. You didn't shed your blood for a church. That's Jesus. He deserves the praise, the glory, the honor. But yet men want that praise. And then we find drugs. Drugs have, you know, been the downfall of many a people. Some of us have dabbled in drugs. Some of us may be still doing drugs. And when that happens, we avoid God. We avoid Him for a reason, because we do not want to die in the state that we're in. Well, if you have that much knowledge, that much sense about you, that you're still using drugs, but your brain has not been fried to the point that you realize that there is a God, quit doing drugs. We can preach a whole sermon on each one of these things. But I just want you to understand the importance. I just want you to understand why people avoid God. Because they love this world. They love this world. Drugs are not good for us. Yeah, you say, well, the doctor prescribed it to me. Okay, if the doctor prescribed it to you, take it. But if he did not prescribe it to you, don't take it. Oh, yeah, go down there and buy you some Tylenol. Take those. That's all good. All fine and dandy. But you don't need to take anybody else's medication. You don't need to take those drugs that they are manufacturing out there in the streets, trying to get this feeling that once you get it and you come down from it, you have to get it again, but it's going to take a little bit more this time. And every time you dabble, it takes you further and further away from God. We need to leave those things alone. I'm saying we. I'm not necessarily talking about me. I don't do drugs. Idolatry. Those gods that we have set up before our own eyes. Serving them. A God that can do nothing for you. Those images of people in a time of a flood or an earthquake, and they're going into these places and they're bringing their gods out on their shoulders, carrying them, because their gods cannot deliver them. Idolatry. We should avoid that instead of avoiding God. But many people don't see that. They don't see the importance in that. I'm going to serve my job. Okay, serve your job. I'm going to serve my house. Okay, serve your house. And I'm not talking about serving dinner to the people in your house. I'm talking about you're worshiping your job. You're worshiping your house. God is displeased with that. Yes, He wants us to work. Yes, He wants us to have a shelter over our heads. But when it comes to the point of us bowing down to those things, there is a problem. There is a problem. And then we go back to power. I'm connecting power with praise. Because we long to have power and forget that God is the all-powerful one. What can you do? How many of you can lift this building? Oh, yeah, I got that smart aleck out there. I can lift it. All I have to do is take it down brick by brick. Okay, once you take it down brick by brick, put all those bricks back together and lift the building. We can't do it, but God can do it. But we want people to know how powerful we are. Man don't have to know how powerful you are. Man don't even have to know that you're serving God. But God knows the power that we don't have. God knows the times that we do not serve Him, that we do not worship Him. God knows. But we're still trying to avoid Him. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh, all of those things that we're looking there, you can connect them with the works of the flesh. And you can understand that some of them falls into the lust of the eyes. And then they all even fall into the category of the pride of life. The three avenues of sin. And when we commit sin, we separate ourselves away from God. And then we begin to avoid God. Should not be. Should not be. But it happens. It happens. And again, God has made a way out. And we need to accept the way out. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. He says in verse 18, start there. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They're seen. They have been identified. He says, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. We went on ahead to verse 21, and very well so. Because we say, I'm not doing that. Yeah, the Bible lists that. He said, and things like these. I don't participate in those things, but what about things like these? Do you participate in them? If so, you're avoiding God. We have to know that God's word is so true, because he continues and he says, I warn you. As I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now Paul is writing this letter. And he's telling the church of Galatia here some things that they should not do. He said, I warned you as I warned you before. He found it necessary not to tell them one time, but tell them again, that when you participate in the things of this world, that you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Some people don't believe that. You can't tell me what to do. And it's evident. Can't tell you a thing. You're grown. You do what you want to do. This is my wife. No, that's not your wife. That's someone else's wife. The judge said it was mine. Yeah, that's what the judge said. But what did God say? See, we have to understand that just because man says it's right does not make it right. Homosexuality is wrong. Man says it's okay for two men to engage in marriage. What did God say? See, you love the world instead of loving God. You love to hear what man says instead of hearing what God says and loving his word and loving him. See, we need to cease those things. So the love of this world, money, praise, drugs, idolatry, power, causes individuals to avoid God. How not to love the world? How not to love the world? How is it possible not to love the world? What did we read in 1 John chapter 2? What did we read there? Verse 17, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. If you do the will of God, you don't love the world. You love God. You love his word. And you will do what he says. Abide with him forever. So what are we to do? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. What do we do? Very simple. I have on here, avoid evil. Paul says, abstain. Abstain from every form of evil. All appearances of evil. Abstain from those things. You mean to tell me I can't go down to the local bar and just sit there and hang out with those people? exactly what I'm telling you. You mean to tell me I can't go down here on a corner and hang out with the drug dealers? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Someone asked, and we read the question about our family members being homosexuals and participating in these acts and, you know, engaged in this relationship. And you're telling me that I can't go and hang out with them and you know, say, it's okay for you to live like that. That's your life. That's exactly what I'm telling you. You can't do that. Why am I telling you that? Because that's what the Word of God says. Well, Jesus hung out with sinners. No, Jesus taught sinners. He didn't hang out with them. He wasn't friends to them. He showed them the right way. And that's exactly what we need to do. So yes, in passing, I tell my homosexual friends, you need to change your lifestyle. I tell those people that are going down to the club or to the local bar, you don't need to go down there. I tell those drug dealers, you don't need to sell drugs. Young man one time told me, he said, you know, I was using, and I said, I just want to know who you bought it from. He said, I can't tell you that. I'm like, why? He said, because I know what you'll do. Okay, don't tell me. The truth will come out sooner or later. No, I'm not trying to put myself in harm's way, but I want the sinner to know that sin is deadly. And we need to protect our own. We need to tell people that they need to avoid evil, all appearances of evil. How not to love the world. In the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, remain pure. Simple as that. What type of sacrifice does God accept? We talk about this from time to time. In the Old Testament, God accepted that which was pure, without spot or blemish. Pure religion, undefiled before God, is this: to visit the widows and orphans in their time of need, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Remain pure. He says in Romans 12:1, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Remain pure. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How not to love the world. You do what is right. You don't have to go around, you know, I'm a Christian. You don't have to have Christian written over your on the front or your back. People are going to know because of your actions. And you know what they're going to say? Oh, he's a Christian. No, that 9 times out of 10, that's not what they're saying. 9 times out of 10, they said, I thought he was a Christian. Because of your love for the world. Oh, just one drink is not going to hurt you. One drink could take you to hell. I want you to understand that. Why do I say that? Because a lot of times that one drink, and we've talked about drink. What is a drink? You know, that one beer, that one shot, that one glass of wine. Those are drinks. And there are many people that have lost their lives and taken lives because of that one drink, because they thought that it would not hurt them and such like. Drunkards would not inherit the kingdom of God. They love the world. They love what man has invented. And they take those things. And those things are not right in the eyes of God. So remain pure. Remain pure. And then live holy. In Romans chapter 8, in the verse is 13. Live holy. Live holy. Where is Jesus? I want you to hear this. And I want you to hear it for a reason. Where is Jesus? In some instances, you find that he is sitting on the right hand of the Father. In the case of Stephen being stoned, Stephen said he saw him standing on the right hand of the Father. Now that's the place of Christ. We will not be on the right hand, sitting or standing. Now, he's going to divide us in the end, as a shepherd divides the sheep and the goats. Amen. The righteous on the right and the unrighteous on the left. Why is he doing that? He's doing that in order to cast those that have loved this world into a burning lake of fire and brimstone. And those that have done right, have died right, have lived right, enter in, my good and faithful servant, that we may be around the throne throughout all eternity. So therefore, we have to live holy. And he says, and I said that to say this, because when you read here in Romans 8, starting with verse 12, so then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will live and continue. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Now he's the firstborn from the dead. Jesus, our Savior. So, if anybody were to take the place of God sitting on the throne, it would be him. But where is he? He's on the right hand of the Father. And we will be around the throne, because we cannot take the place of Jesus. That is not ours. But the Bible says we are heirs. We are part of this royal priesthood. And we should be thankful. So let's not love the world. Let's not love the things of the world. But let's do what is right before God. So if you're here today, and your desire is to do whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, however long you want to do it, I'm going to say one thing and one thing only about that. Continue to do it. Because it's no use of changing if you don't want to change. You keep doing what you want to do. If you're doing it, you love doing it. But let's love the Father. Let's love him. If you're here and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, that opportunity is yours. To come and to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, be immersed in the water of grave of baptism. Hearing the word is what causes you to believe in God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus says, if you do not believe that I'm he, you would die in your sins. So you have to have a change of mind, not loving the world, but loving God. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Meaning that you will repent of the things in which you have done. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So hear, believe, repent, confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Believing with all your heart. And being obedient unto baptism. Because baptism is what saves, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. I can hear somebody say it right now. Why is that the only verse he gave was on baptism? Well, let's talk about hearing. Romans 10, 17. Let's talk about believing in Jesus, John 8, 24. Let's talk about repenting, Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5. Let's talk about confessing, Matthew 10, 32, Romans 10, 10. Baptism puts us into Christ, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. And then we must live faithful until the very end. No matter what men do to you, no matter what men say, live faithful to the very end, Romans 2:10. Let's grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. let's continue to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's do what's right before him on this day. Maybe you are a child of God already. Maybe you have, you know, stopped loving him and started loving the world. Stop loving the world and start back loving him. 1 John 1:9. If you confess your faults to him, he is just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So if you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.